During World War II, Donald Nichols worked in a U.S. Army motor pool and a makeshift morgue. He repaired trucks bound for Burma and embalmed GIs bound for home. The soldiers died of malaria, dengue fever, or amoebic dysentery, diseases that hospitalized but could not kill Nichols. For his grit and his gumption, he was promoted in India to Master Sergeant at the age of 19, making him one of the youngest men of that rank in the Army. By the spring of 1946, the war was over, and Nichols was no longer pumping embalming fluid into his dead comrades. But he was still stuck in the motor pool, this time on Guam, a sleepy speck of American-owned sand in the western Pacific. In Washington, President Harry S. Truman was gutting the defense budget, and the Army was imploding. So were the chances that Nichols could make a career in the military, until he caught the eye of recruiters from the Counterintelligence Corps, an Army unit that hunted saboteurs near military bases. The Army flew him to Tokyo, gave him 3 months' training, and sent him to Korea. There, at the dawn of the Cold War, the motor pool mechanic metamorphosed into a black ops phenomenon. He became a spy master with his own base, his own secret army, and his own rules. His target? North Korea, the Soviet puppet regime that would become the world's longest-lasting totalitarian state. Nichols was wildly ambitious, virtually unsupervised, and just 23 years old. He would build an eponymous intelligence outfit known as NIC that out-hustled and out-spied the Central Intelligence Agency and the massive military intelligence apparatus under General Douglas MacArthur. He warned months in advance, with precise details on troops, tanks, and aircraft, about the Soviet-supported North Korean invasion that would catch the United States flat-footed in June 1950. In the early, desperate days of the Korean War, when GIs were panicking, retreating, and dying, his team of Korean cryptographers broke North Korean army codes, which helped American forces hold the line, saving them from being pushed off the southern tip of the Korean peninsula. Nichols also saved countless lives by penetrating enemy lines to discover vulnerabilities in Soviet tanks and MiG fighter jets. He and his operatives found most of the targets for the bombing of North Korea. He swiped photographs of Stalin and Mao from the office of North Korean leader Kim Il-sung in Pyongyang. He also took the great leader's swivel chair. His commanding general called him magnificent, wonderful, and a one-man war, who didn't know what it was to be scared of anything. More than any American, Nichols was ready for war in Korea. Years before it started, when the Korean Peninsula was a backwater and he was a nobody, he insinuated himself into the affections of an extreme right-wing politician who had become South Korea's founding leader. President Syngman Rhee had a Ph.D. from Princeton and a penchant for exterminating Koreans he believed to be communists. He led South Korea for a dozen years, and Nichols became his son. As such, Nichols entered a demimonde of torture, mass killings, and chopped-off heads as Rhee and his security forces prosecuted a savage civil war against South Koreans suspected of loyalty to the communist North. Rhee's anti-communist crusade, tacitly supported and covered up by the United States, would kill tens of thousands of South Korean civilians, many of them women and children.